I am really happy to be here, ladies. I used to be a MOPS mom, a mothers of preschooler. And so when I would come to my MOPS meetings, I would have what I call a diva suit. It's a matching sweatsuit. Do you know what I'm saying? Very fancy matching cotton sweatsuit with a ball cap. I don't see one of you in a ball cap right now, and I'm feeling a little bit of resentment towards you guys right now. I bet some of you even shaved your legs this week. So I hope we can keep being friends. Well, today I wanted to share with you, it's my most recent book that I launched last year called The Blessed Juggle. And the reason I wanted to write this book, and I felt like I needed to give birth, that's what writing books to me feels like. It's like God plants this idea in me, and then we gestate together, and we get some stretch marks. Sometimes I get a little extra poundage on me during the writing process, like I did with my children. And then we give birth, and it's scary because it's like, are you going to like, is my kid going to be cute? Is my kid, you know what I'm saying? Like, are people going to, and then it's like, okay, we're done. I'm never going to do that again. And then God plants an idea in my heart. I start gestating again, and that's why you all are having children, right? We go through this silly process, and we're so grateful. We're so blessed. Well, everywhere I go, it doesn't matter if it's a mom's group, a women's retreat, this is a theme I hear, even at the bus stop, elementary school bus stop, you know, middle school, don't go to the bus stop. That's not cool. You're killing your kids, street cred. Don't be waving, smushy, I love you. Don't do that. That's not cool. I just stalk mine through the window because the bus stop is across the street. They know I'm watching them. And so I hear women say these things like, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. I'm so busy. And maybe they don't say I'm so busy, but they kind of give you that vibe of, can't talk to you now, girlfriend. My life's more important. It's too busy. It's too full. Oh, you only have one child? I have 18. Oh, okay. Do you know what I'm saying? So, but this wasn't unique to motherhood. You know, I thought about in college when I was still into a lot of shenanigans and not a lot of the Bible. And I would tell you very quickly of how busy I was. It's a lot of work maintaining just one person, right? Then you become a mom, you're like, good night. What did I ever complain about? I could pee in peace then. So I just want to tell you, I believe there's struggle in the juggle. And I just want to show you a couple pictures here, okay? I wish I could lose weight as easily as I lose my keys, pen, cell phone, temper, and mind. Can I get a witness? How about this one? Okay. I have a middle schooler and high schooler. I start singing this song when I see your children licking the floor. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. I'm not even looking for, I'm not looking. Been there, I got the t-shirt collection, I'm not going back. My kids don't lick the floor anymore. Now we're into Axe body product, okay? And then I'm a coffee aficionado. Amen. Before coffee, BC, what are you looking at? What are you looking at, offspring? After Glenda says, come children, come to mother. How about when you just finish the dishes? Like, who are you playing with right now? Who are you playing with right now? Throw it in the trash for all I care. It's not a paper plate. Throw it in the trash. The dishes are done now. How about in Northern Virginia, they're struggling the juggle? Right before a speaking engagement, the person just cut me off. I said, I bet they're going to be at my speaking engagement. I'm sure of it. Because if you know, you look over at each other, you know what they're going to look at? They're going to look at my eyes, but before they hit my eyes, they're going to see the cross my husband brought back from Europe on a work trip. That's a real good accountability statement right there, because I want to give him a smother look. Like, but no, the cross is before us. So we smile and say, God bless you, right? Hope you don't run into that tree. Okay, I'm keeping it too real now. So I want to show you my beautiful family. This is my husband, Dave, who I affectionately call the Finkster. On your left is my son, Jake, who's now a high schooler. I was driving him to football practice, and I dropped him off, and I said, oh, wow, is that the varsity team? And he said, no, Mom, that's the freshman squad. I was like, get out of the car right now. I could sense it coming up again, the tears. Those are men. They can't be freshmen. That means you're a man. What's going on, God? They're growing up. Do you have these mommy meltdowns? Your kid says mama for the first time, you're like, you're the smartest kid in the whole world. Yeah. Every other kid is not as extraordinary. They get on the middle school or the elementary school bus, you're like, you're the smartest, you're the best, have a great day. Turn around, you start crying, like, will they do it without me? How can they? And it doesn't change. It doesn't change. You're watching them soar and struggle and stride, and it's all so beautiful. And it's all so much to juggle. So today, I just want to give you a high five, because I think you need a high five. I want to give you five things. There's a handout on your table. I want to give you five things that I believe a blessed juggler does. Because this is what I want to encourage you to say and to start thinking, is that you're not so busy. You're not. Your day may be full. You are so ridiculously blessed. You're ridiculously blessed. And if you don't believe me, you can read the girls right here, okay? I'm going to like be a subliminal message to you today. And so I want you to think that you're so blessed, because if you pause and you stop, and I'll tell you, this is the same conversation I left today at my kitchen table. This is the same message I just gave my high schooler who's going through something. And I said, baby, if you can find your thank you Jesus in the midst of this storm, you have just fortified yourself as a disciple of Christ. If you can find your thank you Jesus in the midst of sadness, you know, my first three children died from miscarriage. And you think, well, Steph, how could you find your thank you Jesus? I couldn't find it for a long time. So if any of you here are struggling with infertility or miscarriages or failed IVF treatments, I'm going to ask you to consider finding your thank you Jesus. And it doesn't happen immediately. It happens eventually when you keep seeking God and you draw close to him. I have found my thank you Jesus now, because he's a good God. And I thank God now for the first three children, because they never have to suffer one day on this earth. They'll never know pain. They're in glory with God forever. My sons, Jake and Cal, are currently both walking through pretty challenging seasons of their life. My first three will never know this. They only know delight. That's the only thing I can find thank you God for, and that's where I will stand and I will rest. So today, the first point I want you to consider is, how many of you have said, I am so busy? You can be honest. Like, I'll put my feet up if I could. I'm not a gymnast. And now, today, I want you to use this as a sounding board, that when you sense that rising up in you, when you sense it rising up in you, you pause. You practice this pause, and you say, I'm not so busy. I'm so blessed. God, give me eyes to see. Where are my blessings? Because I see a lot of crazy. My kid is stepping on the goldfish. The goldfish, not the fish in the bowl. I don't know, maybe your kid's doing that too. I don't know. And making 1,000 crumbs. Do I want to scream? You know, I'm sure I'm the only one who has a kid who's ripping their sock off. You just got them dressed. They're ripping their sock. They're getting naked. We're going to the car. We're not getting naked again. We're going to the car. We're going grocery shopping, and they like clothes on. Well, I'm so blessed. Oh, great. You don't want to poop in the potty. Super. Super. I don't ever want to go to Starbucks and get a latte again. Really, diapers are free. Don't poop in the... You know, you're thinking these like passive-aggressive thoughts against these kids that you prayed for when they were in utero, or you're waiting for the adoption to come through. You're praying for these kids, and now they won't poop in the can. You're wondering, are you gonna make it in life? Are you going to make it? So I want you to pause when you're feeling, I'm so busy, because you don't have time for this. I remember when our sons first started thinking about other people. That's like a major emotional milestone. I know some adults that are still not thinking of these such things. And I remember my son, Caleb, specifically, he would hold the door for people. So here I am, right? I want to be a godly mom. I want my kids, the first will be last. You know, there's so many biblical illustrations I can tell you on this. So he'd hold the door, and then people would walk through, and I was like, I wanted to pause. Like, do you want to say thank you to my child? Adult, you want to say thank you? But, you know, I'm like, okay, good, good, good. And the person just pulled in, and he's like, oh, we'll just wait for them. How about we get the groceries? How about we go in the store? And he's like, no, let's just wait for one more person, Mommy. I'm like, I got things to do, right? I got an order. I got to get stuff done, right? And instead of saying, how about I'm just so blessed, I have a son that's actually starting to think of the world, and I'm thinking about my to-do list, who actually here in this scenario has the purer heart? It's not Smother. It's little Boo. My kids call me Smother, affectionately. So I want to read a Bible story to you, and I hope that this encourages you. I'm sure most of you have heard of this story before, but I just want to read it to you. It says in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 39, it says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Now, the subtitle of my book, The Blessed Juggle, is from Cray, my cool way of saying crazy. I tell my kids I'm cool. They're not believing it, but I'm telling them I'm not moving on that. From Cray to okay in 30 days. You know you've stepped into the Cray side when you are telling Jesus what to do. But if I'm honest, I have told Jesus numerous times what he needs to do. Tell that obnoxious neighbor whose dog is barking when my kid was napping to log into zipit.com. This kid is sleeping, and I may rock in the corner for 15 minutes alone for one part of the day today. The dog is interrupting my flow. She says to him, tell her to come and help me. So Martha is all overwhelmed with the day's activities. Can we not relate to that? We're more interested sometimes in what the dinner table looks like as opposed to the hearts that are coming to the dinner table. No one comes to my house for my cooking. I buy a Costco from, chicken rotisserie from Costco. We're calling that a meal with a bag salad. Come sit down. Let's have some fellowship. No one's looking for my family recipe of, because there's not a family recipe, there's restaurant reservations. And so as we continue on in this story, the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Fellow moms, what is that one thing that Jesus is talking about? What is the one thing? Is it the family recipe? Is it the perfectly folded napkins? Is it the linens that were pressed in preparation for the guest? What's the one thing? You see, Mary understood because she sat at the feet of Jesus. That was a student teacher. That's how they operated in the Old Testament. That was showing, I'm coming under your submission as teacher. What she knew was, the one thing was that she understood that the presence of Jesus was the present. His presence was the present. The gift she chose to open was partaking in the presence of God in the flesh, which is Jesus. So ladies, I want to encourage you today, stop saying I'm so busy. Focus on I'm so blessed. Pause and invite the presence of Jesus in your life. What does that look like? It looks like in Matthew 6:33, where it says, seek first the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes as a mom, I know I want to instruct my child, but really we have to really kind of do it in three sentences or less if we want it to stick. Sometimes I want to get up on my smother soapbox and be like, this is the 12-point plan of what you need to do to correct this behavior. And they're like zoning out. Like as soon as you said anything, it's like, ding. You know, flatlining in the brain, they're blinking their eyes at you. And I want to ask you to pause and say, Lord, come into my heart. Show me what's going on right now. How can I be kind to a fellow mother? How can I be kind to that neighbor? My coworker's on my last nerve. Instead of me acting in my flesh, show me what you need me to do. How do you need me to lead this child? Maybe your baby's teething and they need to be comforted and not sleep trained. Trust your mommy gut. The Holy Spirit guides. And if you think, oh, well, I'll never sleep through the night, I'm going to tell you, you will eventually. I promise. You'll get on a pretty solid shaving your leg regimen, too. That'll help. Okay, you might get out of the nursing bra. The yoga pants, don't ever give up, ladies. Don't ever give up. Because we have standards. And I want to share with you that Mary was devoted to Jesus. And do you see the peace she had in that passage of scripture, just like we sang about in the beautiful worship today? Mary was devoted to Jesus and she was okay. Perfect, just take that word, shred it. She was not perfect, Jesus was perfect. She rested in peace, surrounded by the presence of perfection. We don't have to be perfect, we don't have to have a beautiful Pinterest board. We have to sit in the presence because God's presence makes us okay. We lose the cray, we shift to okay, and all of a sudden we can be the mom that God designed us to be. Martha was devoted to just duty, to get things done, to her duty of the to-do list and all the preparations, and she was cray. She's bossing Jesus around like bossy pants, and she's losing sight of the gift that was right before her. Why? Because she was so busy. So point number one is, I want you to consider being blessed, not busy. And when you hear yourself say, I'm so busy, correct yourself. Give yourself a little talking to and say, I'm blessed. Lord, now show me where I want to focus on, because what you focus on is what gets bigger in your life. Okay, point number two is, I want you to juggle all the things that God's given you, all your blessings. I want you to juggle for a beautiful rhythm and a beautiful harmony. How many times in your life have you said, I just need to get balanced? I just have to get balanced. I have to get balanced. And I just want to tell you, there's only two things that really need to be balanced, your checkbook and your thyroid levels. Arnett, throw out this whole balance notion. You know why? You're actually supposing that all things are even, are all equal, are all worthy of your time, attention, and talent. And they're not. What I want you to think about is this visual. I want you to think of the visual of an EKG line. And how do you know if there's a beautiful, vibrant life on the EKG? What do you see? You see this beautiful rhythm. You see this beautiful rhythm. There's highs, there's lows, and it's all beautiful, healthy, good. There's only one time in your life where everything's completely, most likely, only one time in your life, unless you've been resuscitated, one time in your life, your heart rate is completely balanced. It's called a flat line, and it's when the life is gone. I want you to think of this because I want you to stop thinking about getting balanced, because there's going to be many seasons of your life. I'm going to tell you, I'm 43 years old. I've never been balanced in my life. And you're like, I'm sitting under your teaching right now. I don't know if this is steady, this is solid choice. I'm telling you, I say that with great courage, because not all things are important. Right now, I'm trying to cultivate my middle school tween and teenager into the world. Do you know where a lot more of my energy is going right now? Into character, faith, and it's not these first lessons, it's refining. Do you remember? And shaping and molding. I was up till 11 o'clock last night with my high schooler, because when God gives you the opportunity, you're gonna, right? As moms, we're gonna buckle in. I'm drooling at 9:30 normally. I'm a morning person. But we're gonna buckle in because we want the lessons of character to be fortified, so we get these little baby eaglets. They start building strength, and then we start watching them soar as God intended out of our nest. Now, smother, in my natural, if I'm left unattended, I am going to lay across, put my whole body across the nest, and let the eaglets keep hitting my gut. Stay with mommy, I love you. But I know that they're a gift from God. They're not mine, they're God's. So I must be brave and start teaching them how to fly. Because the flight will then take course to soaring, and what beautiful things will happen then. So I want to ask you, my friends, I want you to consider, stop saying you're balanced and you're pursuing balance, as if being balanced is the prize. Do you know what the prize is? Paul talks about this in the New Testament. The prize is not being balanced or having a beautiful meal prepared. The prize is actually knowing the power of Jesus that lives in you, that gets you through each day. That's the prize. It's not having even a balanced checkbook, which I would like a pat on the back. I just did it for 3 months straight, even. And I was like, who's here to high-five me? My dog is napping, even. I was like, I am so proud of me because I don't like numbers. Being balanced is not the prize. Knowing Jesus and calling him into the, asking him, sitting in his presence, there's your prize. That's the sweet spot. But let's be reasonable here, right? There's some things that are going to help your heartbeat. Coffee is one of mine, right? Good girlfriends? Not many. I don't care how many Facebook friends you have. That does not tell me the depth of friendship you have. It just tells me how many people you happen to be associated with. It does not tell me how many girlfriends you have. So I say this because if you are connected to someone on social media, which you have to talk about social media every time you talk, basically, right? Because we're pulling out Google to say, how do you take a rectal temperature? I remember we said that. We're like, no, you can't do it that way. You're going to hurt your kid. And I was like, when have we gotten to? Talk to your mentor mom. Stop looking at Google. Go to your mentor mom. They know things. And I want to ask you that if maybe the woman that you're connected to on social media has a lot of friends, that tells you the width. It doesn't tell you the depth of friendship. Don't let that prohibit you, extrovert or introvert. Don't let that prohibit you from pursuing or considering that woman as a friend. And so I want to show you this little video. It's pretty short. It's a commercial you might have seen, because I want to illustrate this point of harmony versus balance. You see that beautiful variation? When we allow God to have a beautiful harmony in our life, a beautiful rhythm in our life, it sounds like this. Do, be, do, be, do, be, do, be. But when we're trying to get balance, it's most likely sounding like that alternate sound. Do, 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 do. And often that's exactly how we're feeling. Like we're dragging our arms behind us. We have so much to do, 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 do. We keep playing over our to-do list. We're feeling overwhelmed because all we're thinking about is our to-do list, as opposed to this beautiful little boo bear right in front of us that's drooling all over us and put a couple more stains on our shirt. So I want to ask you to consider, harmony sounds like do, be, do, be, and it's beautiful. It's vibrant. It's proof of life. But balance is where life is starting to be removed, and you're trying to pursue this. Like, I want to balance time with my husband, with time with my kids, with my ministry, with my job, with my girlfriends. It's never going to be this way. So if you just open your hands and say, it is what it is, God, use me for however you need me to be today. Help me be a human being, not a human doer. Help me be, and then you point me to what you want me to do. So throughout the Bible, there's a rhythm, a sacred rhythm that God tells us about. He tells us about a 6-in-1 rhythm. And I'm going to go over this very quickly, but I want to say this to you because I want you to take a segment of rest. 15 minutes of quiet in one 24-hour period could make you feel like a superhero. It actually has that power. Now, if you said that to someone before they became a mom, you'd be like, are you a desperate person or something like that? Is there something wrong with you? And so I want to ask you, in Exodus, it talks about planting your crops for 6 years and letting the field rest for 1 year. In Genesis, it says that God created everything. And then God blessed the seventh day. The seventh day was the blessed day. Now, God is God. Did God need to take a break? I want you to look at this Bible verse that's so beautiful in Mark. It says, then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people. God planted a day of rest for you all, for me, because he loves us. He knew we needed it. He knew we needed it. And not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over Sabbath. Sometimes you think, well, what if I take a regular rhythm of rest? Will everything fall apart? Are things not going to run? I'm going to tell you, actually, quite the opposite. Things are going to run better than they've ever run. You know, my family has a regular rhythm of rest on Sundays. After we're done with church, we sit one service, we serve one service. Then we go out to lunch. Can I get a witness that is like really good not cooking on a Sunday? It's in our budget now. When they were little, that was not in our budget. And then we go from that lunch to whatever it is to bedtime, and we call it family day. We take a regular rhythm of rest. Our cell phones are plugged in at 8:30. There is some exceptions, but that's the regular policy. And you know what my Monday mornings are like? I get so much actual work done in my home. I work from home when I'm writing a book and turning over laundry, then go back to the chapter and unload the dishwasher, then continue writing. I get so much more done on Mondays than I do any other day of the week. You know why? Because there's a small segment in a rhythm of rest. And you know what I actually need? And I didn't have this language when my kids were your age. I just needed a rhythm change. I needed a break from wake up, feed, nap time, feed, poop, 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 throw up, throw up, throw up, throw up, dust bust some crumbs because that's deep cleaning, maybe pee for 3 seconds, laundry, 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 grocery list that I'm going to surely leave behind on the kitchen counter. You know, like, I just need something to break up the monotony of the day. It's all blessed work, but sometimes it feels monotonous. So this is what I want to encourage you. Do you remember the old hip text lingo, BRB? Be right back. This is what I want to encourage you today. I want you to BRB. I want you to stop for a second and say, I don't have to be perfect. I did my best. And now I'm going to rest because I'm blessed. You did your best. Now rest because you're blessed. You don't have to have all the dishes done. They don't have to all be put away because you know why? You're going to have more dishes tomorrow. Lessons have told us that. Life has taught us this lesson. The vacuuming, do it regularly, right? If your kid is like 2 or 3, give them a dust buster. Take 12 more crumbs off the floor. I know there's 5,000. Give that to them. Let them have so much fun. But take a regular rhythm of rest. Why? Because you need to. Why? Because your kids need you to. Why? Because if you're married, your spouse needs you to. And I love in Matthew 28, it says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. If you practice the rhythm of rest, you'll experience rest. And if what we want to do is bring peace out into the world, if we don't have peace, we can't give away what we don't have. So I'm going to ask you, why rest? Because your heart trusts Jesus. And he can cover in 6 days or whatever your regular rhythm is, and maybe just an hour a week even. I don't know. Just start somewhere. He can magnify, you know, a lot of times, you know, the tithe, 10% of your income you give to God and you trust him to do in 90%. Now you don't have a whole 100%. I've seen God do miraculous things even in our own finances because we've given above the tithe, actually. He's faithful. Can we be faithful? Okay, now I want to ask one woman, does any woman here who's not holding a child know how to juggle? Does anyone? You do, okay. Oh, and the baby's sleeping. We are not touching that with a 10-foot pole. I don't want to ask someone to hold your baby because then we all know what happens, right, guys? All right, who's extroverted and doesn't mind getting out of their comfort zone a little bit? Just come right up here, one person. I know there's more than one extrovert in this room. All right, come on up. All right. Yeah, I don't know. You're like injured or something? I'm going to ask for physical activity from you. Okay, so we're going to just stare at you. No, uncomfortable. Nothing uncomfortable about this.
All right.
So, okay, what we're going to do, ladies, here's our assignment, and this is point 4. Okay, we're going to watch you. No pressure. Your outfit's on point, girl, so no pressure. We're going to watch her juggle, and we're going to take notice of what her physical body is doing as she juggles. And you don't have to do it good. Just try, okay? We don't need perfect. Just do your best and rest because you're blessed.
All right.
What is happening right now? She lied to us. She can juggle, guys. Oh, my gosh. Really beautiful. Okay, so before you go, okay, so tell me some attributes of her physical body while she juggled. What's that? Kind of tense, okay? Because we're all staring at her, right? She's like getting ready, focused. Yeah, I love that word, focused. Right on. What else? She was looking up. Beautiful. What else? What happened? She looked at only one ball, though. What happened? Right. What if she looked at only one of the 3 balls? She would drop them. Okay. What else? Really great. We got gold stars given out here. Everyone's getting gold stars. She had to be flexible, because if her feet were planted in cement, could she be an effective juggler? She could not. Okay. And I want to just bring up one last point. What about her hands? What did her hands look like when she was juggling? They were open. What happens if she kept her hands like this? Could she juggle? But isn't that what we do a lot, ladies? Isn't that what we do? We try to hold on to something, fix it, make it right. Well, what God wants us to do is open our hands, touch it, put it back up to God. Touch it, put it back up to God. Touch it, put it back up to God. So for being very brave, I'm giving you some fair trade jewelry. I just like saying this statement. I believe fair trade jewelry is a way to make a statement while wearing a statement. And it's one way I fight human trafficking. So enjoy. Thank you for being a good sport. So ladies, I want to encourage you. that as you juggle, I want to encourage you to open your hands. You know, some days, every morning I wake up, I put my little dog Crash out to go potty in the front yard. I grab my cup of coffee. Crash stalks me. He's a stalker, very codependent. I sit in my chair. He hears the electric button go up, and he's like, tell me to come up now. And then he sits here as I read the Bible. I pray. I drink coffee. I go get another cup of coffee. This is some of my best times with the Lord. It's actually sometimes that I'm not even reading the Bible. I just sit there silently and I just do this. What's heavy on my high schooler's heart, I sat here and I said, here it is, Lord. I'm opening my hands. Some other wants to close it, fix it, take a bat to some people. Lord, help me be your servant. These are the prayers I pray to God. He knows my heart. I can't hide. I tried to pray holy prayers and he's like, try again, Steph. I know you. I keep my hands open. Lord, will you guide me? I didn't talk to my husband kindly. Help me. My words are destroying him. Help me. Lord, that neighbor, they don't know Jesus, and I want them to know Jesus, and they're on my ever-loving last nerve. I'm the only Christian in the neighborhood. Was this on accident? I don't think so. Help me be a light. I want to live in darkness right now. I want to live like the world. Help me look different. Help me act different. Help me talk different. Do you feel me, ladies? Sit there, open your hands, and say, Lord. Now, I want to share this quick story with you. One day, I was going out to a speaking engagement, and right before I was going to speak, this woman came up to me and said this to me. She said, I don't know if you have any friends or anything. So I'm already thinking, this may not be a conversation I need to engage in when I'm trying to bring my A game for Jesus right before I'm talking, okay? And she goes, I don't know if you have any friends or anything, but I just wanted to tell you this. And I was like, Lord, cover my mouth. I feel like that's the sacred prayer I need to whisper to you right now. And she goes, I just wanted to let you know that your Facebook profile picture is not that flattering. So I thought, help me represent you. Thank you for your information. It's not my favorite picture, but I think it's okay because I made it my profile picture. Thanks for your feedback. I'm going to go speak now. And as I was driving home that night, here we go. You know, there's comments that people make to us all day long. We could choose to stay in the prison of offense, or we could choose to live in freedom. What do you want to choose? So here we go. Your profile picture, okay, I'm going to feel it. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is there anything I need to change, Lord? It's okay. I mean, I don't feel like we should put all airbrush pictures out, because that's not what, when you actually meet me, you'll be disappointed. So I think I'm okay with it. Is there anything I need to change? Did I act in a way that was okay back to her, because I felt offended, to be very honest. Nope, take it back, God. I have more work to do for you. I cannot be held back. You know, that same night, someone came up to me and complimented me on something I said. When I drove away, guess what I kept thinking about? It was the profile picture. It wasn't that maybe something was life-changing for this woman. It was the profile picture. Do you see what I want to ask you ladies to do? Is I want you to juggle light. I want you to open your hands. Touch it, feel it, it's garbage. Throw it. Don't even put it in your thing, because as soon as you throw it up, all of a sudden you're going to find that maybe it'll drop back down because you're trying to juggle it again. But God's saying, honey, I already took care of that. I said ignore, press on, keep pressing. So I want to ask you, I want to tell you this very quick story of a time my son, you ever go to the doctor and you wish you didn't have to bring your children? Particularly the pap smear ones? Well, this one was an appointment where I was feeling horrible, and I just had to go get some blood work done because I actually thought I had mono. That's how bad I felt. And my kids were too little to stay at home. Right now I'm living the high life. I can leave them home, and they're not torching my house, and I know, be jealous. You'll get there someday, but it's really awesome. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to run out and get something, and no one's going to whine because I'm going to be by myself. The only person whining will be me if I choose to. So I said to my kids after I saw the doctor, they have a lab right there, we just have to get some blood work. I said, okay. So I told my children, Jake and Cal, They were little at the time. I said, I want you to sit in these chairs, okay? These are the exact chairs. I took a picture years after this story because I started sweating when I saw these chairs at the doctor's appointment after. So I said, I want you to sit in these two chairs. So is there anything complicated about the instruction I just gave? There's nothing complicated, right? Sit, right? So I'm going to be about 10 feet away. I didn't take a picture of that. I'm going to be at 10 feet away. The phlebotomist is going to take two vials. We're going to be piecing this place out, right? No problem. So I'm like, ugh, feeling yucky, yucky, yucky. Take it. I come back out. All of a sudden, I see my son, Jacob, and his arm is stuck in between the two seats on the right. He's stuck, and he's like, I walked out. What's going on, hon? I'm stuck, mommy. I can see that. What happened? My flip-flop fell off. Now, is there any viable option besides going through? Can we go under, grab it, put it back on, and still sit? No, we have to do it the hard way. Cox Farm, we're going to go the easy way or the hard way. We always yell what? The hard way. Every year we went to Cox's Farm. We're going on the hard way. Why do we pick the hard way? Because we're human. So I said to my son, okay, honey, no problem. Mom will help you. And I'm thinking, I'd rather not. I feel lousy. So my other son is like, my son Jake is very, I have very, very white children. And he is very, very, very red-faced. Like he is starting to sweat. It's stuck. So I tried to get out. He's really stuck. The office manager, this big guy, says, can I help? Yes, you can help. I'm feeling so weak. He tries nothing. It's not like IKEA chair. You know, I mean, this is like industrial office stuff. So I thought, maybe I should call the fire department. But here's the thing. I'm a former cop. My husband is a former firefighter, 25 years. He just retired last year. I'm going to tell you one thing that first responders don't do. We don't ever call other first responders. Because when we drive away from scenarios like this, we make fun of you. It's how we cope. It's how we cope. So we don't do drugs and alcohol. It's how we cope. So I said, well, I can't call the fire department for the exact reason why I'm explaining. So what are we going to do? So here's a very helpful nurse. And she says to me, honey, it seems like your son is stuck. And I said, he's really stuck. We've tried, like, the office manager. And she goes, do you want some KY jelly? Do I want KY jelly to put on my kid's arm? I'm like, could I get to a maternal rock bottom quicker? Do I want to put KY jelly on my son's arm? Yes, I do, because I don't want to call the fire department. I said, I do. She goes, okay, lube my boy's arm up. It didn't move, guys. And he's like, mommy, can you help me? I'm like, honey, he's like, what is this stuff? It's sticky. It's cream to help, honey. It's cream to help. So guess what I did? I called the fire department. Yes, I did. They came. I saw their faces. Yes, I did. I even thought sometimes you say, like when I was a cop, oh, I'm a cop. And they're like, have a nice day. You know, no speeding ticket. Okay. Some professional courtesies. I wanted to tell them that my husband was a firefighter, but I decided not to. Well, they used their little whatever tool. His arm got free. I'm ready to cry, okay? This is humiliating. I'm tired. What is the point of this story? Please tell me there's a point of the story, Steph. Here's the point of the story, ladies, is sometimes we all get stuck, and it's humiliating, and there's no way out, and we need to ask for help. Ladies, there's some of you here today, maybe it's battling postpartum depression, and you're stuck. And you need help, and you gotta ask for help because there's gonna be no way out unless you open your hands and ask for help. Ladies, we need each other. We need each other. Some of us are stuck in marriages that we think are dead ends, and we need help. This is what I tell my kids. Strong people get help, weak people stay stuck. I'm gonna ask you to be strong women. And if this is speaking to you, I want to ask you to be brave, be a blessed juggler, and go get help. That may be in the form of a pastor, maybe you're talking to your mentor mom, and maybe talking to your spouse if it's about postpartum depression. It may be going to get professional help. I'm a huge advocate of getting counseling. But I just want to encourage you, don't stay stuck. I know it's humbling, and I know it can actually be it can feel humiliating. And this is where I want you to find, well, at least you don't have to put KY jelly on your arm. So I want to encourage you that when you keep your hands closed, you're saying, I'm in control. But when you open your hand, you're saying, God's in control. When you're trying to stay in control, you're going crazy. But when you open your hands, you start feeling okay, and you start feeling a rhythm of okay, of peace, of serenity, when that makes no sense. So I want to encourage you to keep your hands open because God is actually in control. And sometimes we want to see like a sitcom in 30 minutes, this beautiful bow tied at the end, but the bow does get tied at the end, and it's when we finally get to heaven. But in between that space of today and heaven, we're going to have some stuff to walk through and juggle. And I want to encourage you, with those that leave everything in God's hands, will eventually see God's hands in everything. I've been through a couple cycles, lady. I know this to be true. Now, the last thing I want to encourage you about is juggling the heart. And you know, a lot of different Bible verses talk about guard your heart because it's the wellspring of life. 1 Samuel 16:7 says that people look at outward appearances, but God looks at the heart. So if the heart is what's important to God, that's what has to be important to us. And really, the heart is the why behind the what. So I'm going to go through a couple mommy scenarios, okay, ladies? We're going out the door with our kids, and our kids have to be in perfectly matching outfits. What's the why behind the what? Because I don't want people to think I'm a derelict mom. I don't know. What's the why behind the what with the last time you said yes? I'm a recovering people pleaser. The why behind my what in my younger years was because I didn't want to disappoint people. I didn't want them to feel let down. And you know who I was disappointing and letting down? Someone really important to God, me. So I want to encourage you, consider your why behind your what. Still say yes. Still say no, but it should not always be yes, and it should not always be no. Sometimes we always say no to fortify ourselves so we don't have to be out of our comfort zone. Then other times we say yes, and we're wondering why we feel cray all the time. It's because no is a boundaried statement. You don't have to give an excuse. You don't have to give a reason. Just like the drug campaign, just say no. So I want to ask you to consider some of the things that you're juggling. I want to ask you, what is your why behind your what? And when the next time someone says, do you want to go out for coffee? And you really do want to. The why behind the what is maybe because you want to have, you want to experiment with some community. You want to have a girlfriend. You want to have someone that gets you. Because this little body, you know, you want to talk about this little body, how you can help this little body grow up. And maybe the why behind the what is, I just want to start changing some rhythms in my life, and I need to make different yeses and nos to align with the different rhythm I'm desiring. You know, as we look back to Mary and Martha that we first started talking about, Martha was cray because she missed the gift. Mary was okay because she opened the gift. Mary said, yes, I want to be in presence. And that's sometimes one of the hardest things, ladies, in this age of social media where we think we're connected and we're not really connected. I feel like we should give a face look more than a Facebook. Like a boob-to-boob hug is what I mean. Not just a click like on the Facebook. And I'm not saying with everyone, but I think 1 to 3 women, I think that's a pretty solid number because Jesus had 3 inner circle friends. I think that's a pretty solid goal for us to consider. That if no one knows what's going on in our life, we're isolated and we're juggling at the wrong rhythm. Other friends are meant to carry some of our stuff. And you're meant to carry some of your friends' stuff. That's part of that beautiful rhythm, that beautiful sacred rhythm that God allows. So I want to close today with inviting Jesus' presence in. It was and is the present then, and it is the present today, if you want it. I want you to consider the Bible verse Psalm 21:6. It says, you have endowed him with eternal blessings and given him the joy of your presence. If you seek God, you'll find joy. And one of the things, and I know it sounds pretty rough when you first hear it, I don't care if my kids are happy. I don't. It's not my job to deliver happiness to them. It is my job to cultivate a spirit of joy. And joy can rest on the rainy days, the sunny days, the snowy days, the leafy days. It can rest even in sad days because you know where your hope, your peace, your trust comes from. So ladies, I want to encourage you to be blessed, not busy. Juggle for rhythm, not balance. Examine your own juggling posture. You know, if you're downcast, do you remember our professional juggler here? She was flexible. She kept her hands open. She was willing to be moving. She kept her eyes open, expectant, waiting. Didn't focus on just one thing because there's other things in her life. And I want you to juggle with an open hand. It's okay to close your hand, but then release again. It's a catch and a release, a catch and a release. And then also be so brave and consider the why behind your what. Now, as we close today, I started my book and I ended my book with this prayer that I wrote. And it's going to be up here, and I want us to just close our time together with just saying this prayer together. Because I do believe sometimes after a busy moment and it feels like it's so insane, we just need to practice pausing, and then we need to practice praying. And to be honest with you, one of the most holiest prayers I know is help, God. Because I know I can't do it and I need some extra help. So I want to just pray this prayer together. Lord, I am so blessed to juggle all that you have placed in my hands. Help me find the juggling rhythm that honors you. Teach me to focus on the blessings when I feel busy. Help me be okay when I feel cray, and allow me to encourage another blessed juggler in their day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, ladies, I want to thank you for your time. Putting up with some of my stories. Don't bring up the KY jelly story, okay, unless you really need to make someone else laugh. And if you want, I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Encouraging Heart. I post a lot of pictures of my dog, coffee, Bible verses, encouragement. I post some very glamorous non-makeup pictures, so you'd really want a piece of that. And but my heart is truly to encourage women's hearts to live out the purpose that God wants for them. And ladies, it is such an honor. I value coming to mom groups so much because what you're doing right now, you're not thinking it right now probably, it matters so much I can't even begin to tell you. Now that I'm raising young adult, I'm telling you, the character, the faith that you're pouring in, it'll be what keeps them standing on the very windy days. Keep doing your thing, ladies. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you for being here, connecting with other moms and figuring this mom job out. It's not a small job, but what a blessed job it is that we all get to unite, link arms, and say we get to be moms together. So I just pray your day is blessed and that you consider that you're blessed. You're not busy. Thank you.